This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week begins. I'm Cisco Cotto.
Good afternoon. I'm Chris Kreidel. It's 42 degrees. We have partly sunny skies. The five-day forecast is coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, the Dow now higher by 47 points or 0.2%. NASDAQ down 20, S&P up 1. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index up 0.2%. Bank of America shares lower by 1.5%. Its lending business has done well. Higher interest rates have made for higher profits, but its investment banking business has not done so well. Bank of America also says it's evaluating whether or not it'll take part in a Saudi investment conference later this month. It's been referred to as Davos in the desert. The CEOs of JP Morgan Chase, Viacom, Ford, and Uber are among those dropping out over the disappearance of a dissident Saudi journalist. And that's what's said to be part of the overnight jitters in global markets. Saudi money is everywhere, and the U.S. is considering sanctions. And today we've been talking for months about what becomes official. Sears Holdings has filed for bankruptcy. President Trump called the filing a, quote, very, very sad moment. The 125-year-old retailer is saddled with billions of dollars in debt, but is hoping to keep its profitable locations up and running after emerging from bankruptcy. Back to you, Chris and Cisco.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to recap the backstory on Sears. We've been reporting on this for years, and it is Stock Picker Monday, so a couple of ideas for your portfolio.
We'll also talk about the economy with Diane Swonk, see what's coming up on the week ahead. And speaking of Sears, what's going to happen to all that Sears real estate in the Chicago area? Is there some redevelopment going on? All of that and loads more coming up on today's Noon Business Hour.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The steady, painful-to-watch decline of suburban-based Sears has moved to the next step. The company that was once America's largest retail chain filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, and Chicago-based as well. Let's get the latest from Lauren Coleman-Lochner, who is retail reporter at Bloomberg in New York. Welcome to the Noon Business Hour, Lauren. Was this a surprise?
No, certainly this has been a process that has been unfolding for several years. The company has lost money for a number of years and very critically has seen a continued decline in the number of shoppers visiting its stores.
Did Eddie Lampert have a vision for Sears going into the next decade or so, or was it really about his financial wealth?
So Lampert initially did have, actually, I would say, a number of visions, and that may have been part of the problem. He did some innovative things along the way, including investing in technologies that other retailers have adopted. He was the first, I think, to do pickup, order online, pickup in the store. So he had some good ideas, but he did a lot of experimentation, which is not unusual in retail, but seemed to have trouble finding something that would stick. He experimented with different formats. He experimented with projects like subleasing space in Sears stores. But the critical component was he wasn't putting money into the stores. He preferred to spend that money elsewhere, investing in technology, for example. And the stores looked run down, and shoppers noticed, and they had increasingly a number of other choices, so they abandoned Sears.
Is it, I guess, a fascinating tale to see? You have Sears, you had Montgomery Ward, you had Bon-Ton. They just weren't able to adjust. Walmart, Target, some other stores were able to come in, and then Amazon and other online retailers worked together to sort of undercut them.
Absolutely, and department stores as a sector have been struggling, but some have made it through. We've certainly seen a lot of consolidation and shakeout in the department store space, including this year with Bon-Ton earlier. But Sears had scale. Sears was the largest retailer through the 1980s. So potentially they could have invested to see their way out of this and retain their shoppers. They really had the lot. They were the dominant player in appliances. They tried on and off without a lot of success in the clothing business, but in the hard goods, they were actually the dominant retailer, even when their troubles were far along.
I saw a line today that kind of recaps the whole thing for me. It says, to reinvent ultimately leads to extinction.
Sometimes that saves
failure.
Retailers.
I'm sorry, the failure to reinvent leads
failure
to extinction.
To reinvent. Yeah, they absolutely tried to reinvent themselves on a number of occasions. A lot of people were definitely wary when Lampert combined Kmart and Sears, because we've seen over and over again combining two troubled retailers doesn't necessarily produce a healthy retailer.
So is there a is there a consensus on where Sears heads from here? Because you have Chapter 11, they'll close more stores. Is there a chance that there's a turnaround here, or is this just the next step in sort of the end of Sears?
So we have seen a number of retailers now who have been able at least temporarily to reorganize, close unprofitable stores, shed debt, and then emerge. Sears obviously has billions in sales. There's a significant business there. All that said, it's hard to see, especially as they are having trouble lining up all the financing they need in bankruptcy to operate. It's hard to see what changes here. You have vendors who are going to be very wary about shipping goods to them, especially after what happened with Toys R Us collapsing. And you also have customers who will be concerned that the company isn't going to survive. And we saw that with Toys R Us as well, where they were reluctant to go in and purchase gift cards and items that they might want to return later. So those are real concerns for Sears. And the financing is a really key issue. They still, usually in these kind of situations, you have lenders falling all over themselves to provide financing in a bankruptcy. And Sears is still trying to line up the financing, the minimum financing that it says it needs to operate.
Lauren, thanks so much for joining us today. Lauren Coleman-Lochner is retail reporter for Bloomberg News in New York.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The demise of Sears will impact the commercial real estate market in and around Chicago, while the exit of big banks is changing the face of LaSalle Street. We're joined by Danny Ecker, reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Danny, we'll get to LaSalle Street in just a moment. Let's touch on Sears, though. You have these properties all around the Chicago area. Some have already closed. Others will close. And it seems to present either a really great redevelopment opportunity, or on the other hand, it could just be vacant properties for a while.
Right. It's, I guess, all in your mindset, right? There are people who say problems are just opportunities in disguise. Well, there's Sears has about 20 department stores in the Chicago area. And now, the owners of the malls that house those stores are starting to worry, maybe not starting to worry. Now they're really worried about whether the retailer will eventually shut down completely and leave some gaping holes. So, that's part of this larger story that's unfolding in the world of retail, hurting especially department stores and big box retailers as you see more consumer spending habits change in the rise of e-commerce. And you've seen it with Toys R Us and with Carson's, and now add Sears to that list. And it could be either a big problem for mall owners, or it could be a chance for them to be redeveloped.
Sort of interesting that at least some of these properties, there's discussion about maybe revamping them, not the ones in the malls, but some of the standalone properties, turning them into residential and also some other retail, sort of repurposing them.
Right. So, and that's, we've seen a couple cases, locally after Sears shrunk its store in Oak Brook, the owner of the mall, GGP, converted part of that space into a kids' entertainment area. And GGP also bought the Macy's in Northbrook Court in the northern suburbs earlier this year. There's a proposal now to redevelop that into apartments and restaurants and other uses. And it's just kind of a, you know, there people need more reasons to go to malls that used to be department stores. And now they're almost having the opposite effect. And so it's sort of a reinvention of some of these malls and these spaces that have to find ways to get people to come out when they can buy things from the comfort of their home on a computer.
And Danny, what's the story in the financial district right now?
Yeah, on the South Street, we wrote about this week, you know, just kind of the changing face of this historically financial corridor of the loop, where you've got a few big banks that are moving out of, off of LaSalle Street over the next few years. Bank of America is moving to a new tower on Wacker Drive. Northern Trust is likely going to be consolidating its offices in the East Loop. BMO Harris is in talks to lease space and consolidate its Chicago presence at Union Station. And those departures, combined with kind of the changing face of the Central Loop in general, is just kind of changing what LaSalle Street is known for. And you're going to have some landlords there that have some older buildings that are faced with some big vacancies and need to kind of reinvent themselves to appeal to younger employees and companies and different types of companies to fill some of the space that will be left behind.
Danny Ecker, always appreciate you being on the program. Danny's a reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Up next, Bloomberg has the latest numbers from Wall Street.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. The market's sponsored by FinancialEngines.com. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow is now higher by 27 points or a tenth of a percent, while the NASDAQ lower by 37 points. That's a loss of half a percent. S&P down 3. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining half a percent. Crude oil futures little change near $71.37 a barrel. Now let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets are higher through the noon hour. Weather concerns across the Midwest for agricultural products has been the main bullish feature. Harvest progress is expected to lag behind average. A record NOPA crush report helped generate buying interest, and the positive technical chart formation has generated technical buying. Corn futures up 2 to 3.5 cents. Soybeans are 18 to 19 higher, and the wheat market 2 to 3 cents higher. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are mixed at this hour. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a pair of ideas from a money pro.
Numbers on retail sales are out, while the week ahead will include data on housing and the release of minutes from the most recent meeting of the Fed.
Longtime customers of Sears react to the bankruptcy protection filing by the once powerful retail giant.
President Trump is suggesting rogue killers may be responsible for whatever happened to missing Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi.
Wall Street right now, the Dow Industrials up 16, NASDAQ down 39, and the S&P 500 off by 3.
Beautiful sunshine in Chicagoland throughout your day as we head to a high of 48 degrees. Right now, 41 at O'Hare and Midway, 43 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Well, the markets have been rather sluggish today to start the week. Let's get the perspective of Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. What do you see in the markets today, Jack?
Yeah, it's pretty quiet. Market doesn't have a strong sense of direction, which is probably a good thing given the downward direction that we suffered last week. You know, it just occurs to me, I'm writing up and thinking about Sears just because it is a Chicago hometown company. And, you know, my sense is the fortunes of Sears probably peaked in 1973 when they unveiled the tallest building in the world. And if you go back and look at whenever the tallest building of the in the world is typically unveiled, it usually sparks a peak in the business cycle. So perhaps that was Sears' peak.
And what else do we learn by watching this?
Well, I mean, you know, keep in mind that, you know, Sears certainly was the Amazon of the early 1900s, using catalog and the mail service to distribute products at reasonable prices. And so it's really come full circle. What we obviously see is an enormous trend away from brick and mortar toward toward the internet, and that obviously hasn't stopped with Sears. And so now the question is sort of the next derivative effect: what happens to all these malls that have, you know, relied on companies like Sears and JCPenney as anchor tenants?
Interesting that a lot of the malls are going to more entertainment options, bowling alleys, video arcades, pool halls, that sort of thing, to bring people in and then maybe shop at the remaining stores.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, Cisco, it's a great observation. If you think about, you know, and just walk down any street in downtown Chicago and look at the storefronts, generally those storefronts are offering products or services that aren't easily available with a point and a click. So you're looking at restaurants, you're looking at barbershops, services, things like that, bowling alleys. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that, you know, these landlords have to adapt. And, you know, for the most part, they're doing a reasonable job.
Is there a lesson for investors here that it's sometimes those companies you've been able to rely on for a long time maybe get shaky if they're not evolving with whatever the market's doing in a given time?
That's it. I mean, remember, you know, companies like Sears and IBM and General Electric were kind of the bluest of blue chips back, you know, not that long ago, a generation ago. And so we have to keep in mind as investors, there's, you know, certainly no long-term lockdown sure thing that, you know, because of innovation and because of technology and business and changing tastes, that companies certainly have to be on top of those trends, but also I think investors need to look for the upstarts and those that could perhaps just turn a whole industry upside down.
And during in the stock market in general, is inflation still going to be a question mark, Jeff? Jack?
I think it is. I mean, to me, the most notable risk, we talked a bit about it last week, is the interest rate. The fact is that, based on all other even if we assume inflation stays where it is exactly as right now, economic conditions stay exactly where they are right now, everything, all other things being equal, the 10-year Treasury needs to be 4.5%, not 3.1%. And the overnight rate, if you look at some of the algorithms that some pretty smart people have developed over the years, probably needs to be a lot higher than it is right now at 2.25%. So I think that, you know, as the central banks and as the bond market migrates back to just simple step one, that's going to put pressure on risk-taking in general, and obviously stock market in particular.
And so what would you advise to someone who's thinking about investing right now?
Sure. So for those who are, you know, long-term investors, I wouldn't worry about it. I think that the magnitude of the shift we're looking at is maybe at most another 10 percentage points from here. For those in the bond market, I would say, you know, if you're looking to draw income from your portfolio and you're looking for fixed income or bonds, I would certainly stay in the shorter maturities. You know, it's you don't have to go very far out in maturity to get a reasonable yield right now. So, for example, you know, you can go out 2 years. Let's see, 2020. You know, we've got a 2.85 yield for just owning a treasury for 2 years. So the bond market is starting to create a compelling alternative to equities, but I wouldn't certainly go out on a limb maturity-wise yet. I think those rates will go up a little bit more in the near future.
Thanks for the analysis. Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. Up next, a look at retail sales and a preview of the week ahead with economist Diane Swonk.
Discussing your dollars,
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The latest numbers on retail sales are out today, while the release of minutes from the most recent meeting of the Federal Reserve are due out later this week. Let's get a preview from Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton here in Chicago. Diane, I want to begin by asking you about the downturn in the markets that we experienced last week. Were there things that you were seeing in the economy that led you to think that that may happen, or are there just market forces at work here?
Well, I think what we saw last week was finally the market coming to terms with the fact that the Fed is ready to make good on its promise to do 4 interest rate hikes this year and 3 next year. For some time, the market has sort of been saying we can have our cake and eat it too and have low interest rates and not have to deal with that kind of discounting of the market values of higher rates. But we're still not talking about anything that's taking really anything out of the economy. The Fed's still lifting its foot from the accelerator, not hitting the brake yet. And I think that's the most important message. The other issue for markets last week was really concerns about a trade war as well. And the escalation of tensions with China is one of their biggest concerns. It was welcome news to hear later in the week that we may be seeing a meeting between the president and President Xi of China in terms of dealing with trade in November when the G20 meet, the finance ministers of the G20 meet. That would be quite welcome news because we'd hope that maybe we could avert a full-blown tariff war in January, which would be 25% tariff on some $517 billion of goods coming in from China. That affects everything from supply chains to what you see at your local department store.
What do you make of these retail sales? Speaking of department stores, they were higher, but just barely higher.
Yes, we saw certainly the headline number was a real disappointment. We did get some murky numbers from the flooding associated with Hurricane Florence, and now we have, of course, Hurricane Michael right behind it. The biggest hit was in a surprise category that's been really strong, and that's restaurants and bars. People have been kicking it up a little with their extra spending cash in terms of the number of paychecks per household and also the number of paychecks in the economy, and that really took a nosedive in the month. When you stripped out some of the more volatile categories, the core retail sales that go into our measurement of GDP for the quarter were still very robust, up 0.5%. That's good news because it means that the second quarter will easily cross the 3.5% mark. After that 4.2% second quarter, that's a nice, strong economy. So we still have a very robust situation in the underlying economy.
Well, I wonder if I could get an observation from you. You don't cover this directly, but what's going on at Sears? It's right in our backyard.
Yeah, you know, I did point out in my retail sales write-up, the weakness also was in discount department stores, which is a category that Sears is in. And we've seen a lot of weakness in that for many years now. Everything from the Targets and Walmarts providing competition for those old-line traditional discount retailers and also the move to online. And that's been really hard to compete with. Walmart successfully doing it. Target also a big online presence. But this is something that the more traditional discount retailers have not been able to do, and you're seeing it because of the allocation of how we spend money now. It's no longer just going into one discount department store and getting everything we need. We get a lot more things from different places, and that's just unfortunately gone to the disadvantage of Sears. I have to say myself, there's a big marketplace thing online this weekend, everyone remembering their first memories of Sears. Not only did I get my first credit card there, I remember getting lost in the clothing racks in the middle of them when I was a child, which I think cost my mom a few heartbeats, but it certainly was a good old memory for me from going to the Sears as a kid. They were like almost going to an amusement park when I was little because there were so many things going on in the Sears stores.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us, Diane.
Yeah, that's
great. Nice to talk with you. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton in Chicago. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Money Talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday, and sponsored by Geiger Wealth. Helping us out today, Chuck Carlson, who is CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond newsletter, and author of Winning with the Dow's Losers. Chuck, nice to have you back on the program. What's your first stock today?
The first stock is FedEx, symbol FDX. And this is really just a simple value call. You know, when we have corrections like this in the market, smart investors take advantage of those in good quality blue chip stocks. And I think FedEx is offering one of those opportunities. You have a stock that's down roughly 20% from its 52-week high. So it's fallen from about 274 a share down to 220 a share. And it's fallen, you know, for reasons people are concerned about, the volatility and upward trend in energy and fuel prices, the upward trend in wages, which is impacting a lot of the transportation-related companies, including FedEx. And the most recent quarter, the earnings were a tad disappointing. I didn't think they were all that bad, but Wall Street disagreed with me. So the stock is down. But again, history shows that that is the type of stock that if you can buy that stock at a 20% discount from its peak, you should take advantage of that. And I think that's the call on the stock right now is one that it's just offering too compelling an opportunity here. It may not turn on a dime for you, but I think 12 months from now, you're going to be awfully glad, investors who bought at these prices.
Okay, Chuck, first pick, FedEx. What's your second pick?
Second pick is Zebra Technologies. Symbol is ZBRA. It's a company that's involved in kind of barcode scanning equipment. It's an interesting play on kind of data acquisition and analysis because that's really what they provide are various types of tracking and data accessing materials. And they have kind of, end-to-end solutions for a variety of businesses. I like the fact the company has beaten both sales and earnings estimates in each of the last four quarters. Earnings estimates are trending higher. You can still buy at a decent valuation. And to me, it's an interesting and still a reasonably priced play in terms of somebody looking for kind of a technology play and avoiding some of those really overvalued tech plays. So again, Zebra Technology, symbol ZBRA, and it trades for around $161 a share.
Chuck Carlson, two picks, FedEx and local Lincolnshire-based Zebra Technologies. Always appreciate you being with us. Chuck is CEO of Horizon Investment Services, also publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter. Bloomberg updates the markets as the Dow started pushing ahead. WBBM News Time, 12:55. We're wrapping up the noon business hour with an update on Wall Street, sponsored by BDO at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Cisco, it is definitely a better picture than we had right at the open. Right now, the Dow is up 75 points, or more than 0.25%. We are back above 25,400. The Nasdaq's losses cut to just 11 points, and the S&P is higher by 3. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is gaining almost 1%. Sears had announced well over 200 store closings this year. Another 140 are on the way. The company has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection and will reorganize around a smaller base of profitable Sears and Kmart stores. As recently as 2010, Sears ran more than 3,500 Sears and Kmart stores. Now, locations number in the hundreds. Sponsored by Hiscox Small Business Insurance, with business at 25 and 55 from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.